In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Every time we celebrate Mass, whether it be on Sunday or on a weekday, in this parish we pray for an increase in vocations to the priesthood, diaconate, and religious life. We need more of all three. Certainly we need more priests and more deacons and more religious brothers and sisters. You know, the reality is that we have always needed more from the very beginning. Our Lord himself instructed his disciples to pray the Lord of the harvest to send out more laborers into his harvest. But it is also true that we have less now than we've had at some times in the near past. Some call it a vocation crisis, but it's really a crisis in response to a vocation, because God still calls. It just seems that fewer people are listening. And there are many reasons for this, one of which is our society has become militantly secular. And if you are religious, at best, you are viewed as being somewhat odd and out of step, though more frequently, you're viewed with outright hostility. Keep your religion to yourself. Don't talk about it. Don't exercise it. Just stay indoors. Put it in the closet. People have fewer children than they used to. And how does this impact? Well, you know, if you have six kids, you know, one going to the convent or the seminary is no big deal. But if you only have one kid, what do we hear? What about grandchildren? Well, maybe you should have thought of that when you only had one kid. One of the most embarrassing situations I ever found myself in was when I was in the seminary and I introduced my mother to Bishop Wiegand. She looked at him and said, "Bishop, does the diocese have a rent-a-grandchild program?" This is why I don't take my mom out in public. Our society is drenched in sex. You know, to pursue a church vocation, you give up marriage. You know, and even deacons, you know, they're allowed to become deacons if they're married, but if their wife dies, they cannot remarry. People look at you like, "How can you live without being married?" I look at them back and say, "Very nicely, thank you very much." I like to tease people and say, "What's one of the best parts about being celibate is I get to leave the toilet seat up." And there's a great deal of confusion regarding the faith due to some bad catechesis over the last 50-some-odd years. It's also, I think, because people don't seem to think that they could be the answer to the prayer. You know, we all pray for an increase in vocations, the priesthood, diaconate, and religious life, and we say, "Let us pray." People don't think they could be the answer to that prayer. They think they're not smart enough or good-looking enough. You know, trust me, good-looking is not a requirement. Or strong enough or a good enough public speaker. They say, "You have to give up stuff to pursue achievement, you know, give up things like marriage." How many people here have been married more than 20 years? You give up stuff when you get married, don't you? Whatever you do, you give up something. It's a matter of what. They also think, well, maybe they don't fit the image. I got some news for you. In order to be a priest, you don't have to like science fiction and horror films. You don't have to like computer games. You don't have to like firearms. It helps. But you don't have to be like me. There are as many different kinds of priests as there are kinds of people. It comes down to this. It's not about who you are and your gifts, but it is about what God will make of you. God chooses the weak and makes them strong. We are earthen vessels carrying a great treasure. Think about the prophet Amos. Who was Amos? Did he go to a fancy university? Was he from a rich family? No, no. Was he the son of a prophet? No. He was a shepherd and a dresser of sycamores. Amos was on the grounds crew. And yet God made of him a great prophet and set him against the kings and the nations of the earth. Think about the apostles. None of the apostles, with the exception of Judas Iscariot, would be chosen by the HR department of a major corporation. You had fishermen. You had a tax collector. You had guys who wanted to call down fire on Samaritan towns. You had other guys who had their mommy, well, actually, they're the same guys who had their mommy try to do an end run around the other apostles so they could be number one and number two. And yet God made of them great saints, professors of the faith, martyrs. It is also true of each and every one of us, because each and every one of us has been called by Christ to be a Christian. Do you understand what that means? It's not just that you have something to do on Sunday. It means you have been destined before you were even born to be called by Christ to receive adoption as a son or daughter of God, to be made into a great saint. What God can do with very little material. It is a truly wonderful thing. And so pray and ask, what does God have in mind for you? Now, inevitably, there will be some smart aleck who will say, I have prayed. God wants me to be a nun. How do I get rid of my husband? It doesn't work that way. But when you pray, ask if God is calling you. And realize that he may be calling you, or perhaps a family member, or a friend, or an acquaintance. Help them and help yourself to hear his call. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.